Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. And we've happened to reach a milestone. This is our 200th episode of the show. And we have tons of previous episodes in our archive, searchable by topic, keyword, or search phrase by using the search feature on our website. So try it out. It can be a very useful tool. Anyway, this week, we're going to be talking about the KNFB reader for doing OCR right from your iPhone and some of the history behind it and how these devices have changed over the years.
Devices for performing optical character recognition, or OCR, have become much less expensive and much more technically advanced over the years. We'll talk with James Gashel, Vice President of Business Development for KNFB, about the newest version released as an app and about the history of OCR technology. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is the camera on an iPhone has lots of valuable uses for a blind person, and the KNFB Reader app is a prime example of that. But we also spoke with Judy Dixon in show number 1430 about a book that she had written before the KNFB Reader app was released, entitled Get the Picture, Viewing the World with the iPhone Camera, about many, many other useful things that blind people can use the iPhone camera for.
Amazing to have all of that technology in our pockets these days. Well, let's see how it all started out.
Let's start by meeting James Gashel and learning a bit about KNFB, the company.
Hi, my name is James Gashel, and I am Vice President of Business Development at KNFB Reading Technology.
And for those who don't know, what does KNFB stand for?
K stands for Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil was the founding CEO of our company, and so he gets the first initial of the company name. NFB stands for National Federation of the Blind. I came over to KNFB from the National Federation of the Blind, having worked there for 33 and a half years as Director of Governmental Affairs and other related positions.
And are you visually impaired yourself?
I am.
And what's the nature of your visual impairment?
Glaucoma from the time of my birth.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Kurzweil and NFB got together, this partnership, years ago?
I was sitting in my office in Washington, D.C. in 1975, and a young gentleman by the name of Raymond Kurzweil walked into the office without an appointment. He said he'd invented a reading machine that blind people could use. And, you know, if you think back to 1975, the computer was something that institutions had, government agencies and schools, universities had, but people like you and me, just the average person, didn't have a computer. Now we have many computers in our homes and offices, but this was unheard of. And here comes Ray saying he had invented a reading machine and used a computer that blind people could use it, and it was going to change our lives. Well, I wasn't quite that impressed with it, but he was. And I said, we would like to take a look at it and see if we could help to advance the project. He was looking at that time for money to try to bring it from the laboratory to a commercial product. So we were able to help with that. We evaluated the technology and felt that we could make a contribution more than financially to its launch. And we appointed a team of people qualified to do engineering work, human factors work on it. And we obtained, through a fundraising effort that I coordinated, the first six pre-production models of what became the Kurzweil reading machine.
As I recall, in those days, the cost of these devices was quite prohibitive.
These cost $50,000. These were before the public got access to it. And I think the government put some money in, not to our project, but to a collateral project funded by the U.S. Department of Education. And this became the Kurzweil Reading Machine, started out in 1977 as a consumer product, and I believe cost about $30,000 in the early years. And libraries and institutions bought them, and not many individuals. And that launched the first reading machine for the blind, called the Kurzweil Reading Machine.
I actually had one of those when Xerox, where I was working at the time in the early 80s, bought Kurzweil for the OCR technology.
You anticipated exactly what I was going to say. Kurzweil was bought by Xerox. They wanted the scanning technology. Ray invented a lot of technologies to make this possible in the beginning. Flatbed scanning, Omnifont character recognition, text-to-speech. There were lots of inventions here that made that Kurzweil reading machine work. Now we think of those as big companies own those technologies, and that was true, of course, beginning with Xerox buying that technology.
Yeah, I remember that took up the corner of my office. And when you talk about flatbed scanners, these days, most scanners are full-width scanners. They just scan the entire width of the page at a time and go down once. This machine had a little tiny head, and it would scan like several lines at a time and then go back, do several more lines, go down the page, several more lines. It took a long time to scan the page, but it did work.
It certainly did. And as you mentioned that, of course, I would point out that for reading to begin, I don't know, it seems like it was probably about a minute or so from the time the scanning process started until the machine was speaking words. And the words were a bit strange sounding. We got used to them, of course, but as synthetic speech, they were a bit strange sounding. Synthetic speech has improved a lot since then.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the KNFB Reader app for iOS devices.
So over the years, these devices have shrunken from the size of a small washing machine to being able to be run on a handheld cell phone. What were some of the challenges to get from one place to the other?
In the early 2000-2002 period, we started the project for the portable reader. So up until that time, all reading versions of the Kurzweil and other reading products had been stationary. And so, you know, the technology controls the lighting environment and the image quality, basically. Okay, so now we're talking about something that's going to be portable, and not only portable, but blind people are going to be taking pictures of documents, and there will be sunlight sometimes, and there will be shadows other times, and light will do all kinds of things, and the pages will be curved, and books won't lie flat on a glass plate, but they will be in somebody's lap, maybe, and you can't control what the image environment is going to be. So Ray said in the very beginning, we need to pre-process these images so they are the best images we can get to feed to the OCR.
That was pretty ambitious in those days, given what kind of computing power was available. Xerox at the time, where I also was working, was changing from analog to digital copying and needed to work out many of those same correction techniques for the copiers, and it was challenging.
Now, of course, we can't correct for somebody putting their finger over the camera lens, but there are things we can correct for. Skewing of the image being twisted right to left, curvature of the pages, shadows to some degree. We can obliterate that by using the flash on the camera. There are different things we can do. So, in other words, but the main point is, and I think it's what puts us ahead, and still does, puts us ahead of these other technologies. Basically, they give the user the OCR results, the optical character recognition raw results that come from the character recognition. We improve the image to a degree that the OCR can do its absolute best.
So now we started with this device around 1980 that was $30,000 and as big as a small dishwasher. And by the early 2000s, every few years, the price had come down, the footprint had gotten smaller, and now you're down to your first portable device. And I remember you implemented this software within a Nokia telephone. Is that right?
Yeah, well, that was actually the second generation of the handheld, believe it or not. We started the handheld reader development project in January 2003. At that time, we weren't certain what kind of a computer it was going to run on. We kind of had in mind, if nothing else, maybe a laptop computer in a bag that you could carry with you, and that would be hooked up to a digital camera. Where we ended up is by 2005, PDAs, personal data assistants, were coming along with enough computer power, and digital cameras were coming along at the consumer level. And we could tether the two together and build them into a custom design case and develop software that was exclusively for the reader and run it on a PDA connected to a digital camera. That was the first, and we launched that in July of 2006, and we charged $3,495 for it, and a lot of people bought them. And it was a very good project, but it was high tech support because you're dealing with not just software, but hardware, and wires come disconnected and things like that. And Pete, you mentioned the Nokia phones. So 18 months after we launched the portable reader that I've just described, the PDA with a digital camera, we moved to a cell phone. As soon as a cell phone became available with a good enough camera and the right camera optics, and Ray Kurzweil's ability to predict and catch the wave, so to speak, of technology paid off. We could not do this before December 2007, and in January 2008, we launched that as a product on the Nokia cell phones.
So we've come all the way to the point where nowadays we can find this technology running on an app that's available in Apple's App Store.
So this product is now on the iPhone. Obviously, we have wanted to have the KNFB reader technology on the iPhone. But again, watching the hardware trends, that was not possible. But in September of 2013, when the iPhone 5 series began to come out, we looked at those specifications and we said, okay, the time has come. We can have the reading technology on the iPhone. And we started up the project in earnest. For several years before that time, people kept asking me, why can't we have the reader on the iPhone? And I said, well, you can. I can put it on your iPhone today, but you will not like the result. And that's exactly true. And the reason is, no matter what image processing we did, the images just weren't good enough coming from the iPhone camera. If we took images captured by a Nokia N82 camera and fed them through the same software, the reading would be great. But the images are coming from a different camera, not the iPhone camera. Now, the Apple devices have much better cameras. They have flash. So it's worked out to be a great device. And we've launched this in September of 2014. So a year after the specifications came out for the iPhone 5C and 5S, here we have the KNFB reader on the iPhone.
So you have to have an iPhone 5 or 5C or later in order for this software to work.
That's correct. It'll run on an iPhone 4S, for example, but the results aren't really what we say we could support.
Did you get involved in the technology development as well?
I did, believe it or not. You know, I have an interest in it and was involved with this product. Actually, I was involved with the Kurzweil reading machine and led the team of consumer engineers that helped to develop the user interface going way back into the 1970s. And I was one of three or four people who met with Ray and his team then in 2002 as we started to talk about the portable reader. And so we outlined the specifications, and I played a role in those particular specifications.
What were some of the technical aspects you did work on?
I am blind. I don't see enough to be able to aim a camera and get a really good focus. So I thought, well, how in the blazes are we going to take pictures of documents and get an image that is going to be worth sending through the OCR? And so in one of our early meetings, I suggested to the engineering team, we need a report to the user to tell how well the image is lined up. We call it the field of view report. And we only report from that image what the camera is seeing. For example, we want to know if all four edges of the document are seen. If they aren't, there's a good chance you're missing some text. We think of the field of view report now as a training function. Since you have to line up the picture, you want to know what it feels like to have your hands or your arms in the right position with a document in front of you. And the field of view report is a perfectly good way to do it. Or if you have the reader on a stand, on a desk, again, you can line up the work settings so that you can have your document and everything lined up really good.
Can you quickly summarize what this app does?
We take a picture of anything that has print on it and then speak the text. And also the text, it becomes available in Braille. If the user has a Braille display that's connected by a Bluetooth to the iPhone. And so this technology extracts text from images. Now the images can be straight text printed on a paper. They can be single column or multi-column. They can have colors and different fonts and lots of different characteristics to them. They can be flyers or brochures or business cards or printouts, emails, etc. And it speaks the text, or as I say, makes it possible to read that text in Braille.
Once I've captured the text, can I subsequently read it word by word, line by line, and interact with this text?
Yes, you can. You can read character by character, word by word, line by line, sentence by sentence, page by page.
How does it do on a contoured surface like a bag or a can?
Well, it does what it can. Nancy, it likes small print, not big print. So you think of a product label with highly stylized, large print characters. Well, we're not going to do a very good job of that. But what we do do is a good job on the ingredients. And the way I like to put it is, it'll tell you enough that you know whether you're looking at a can of beans or a can of dog food. Now, you may not know the brand name of it, and some other things that the company that puts it out might like you to know, the advertising and such. But the small print you can do. And packages that have instructions for how to cook and things like that, it can read that information.
Can you give us a demonstration of how the app works on an actual document?
Okay, so I have a document in front of me, and actually in my lap, I have the reader poised over it approximately 1 foot above the document, and you'll hear what it says.
Take picture, button. Take picture. Play. Access Technology and Disabilities in the 21st Century, by Ray Kurzweil.
Pause.
From the editor, Dr. Raymond Kurzweil is an inventor, entrepreneur, author, and futurist. The Wall Street Journal calls him a restless genius. Forbes magazine refers to him as the ultimate thinking machine.
So anyway, that's a typical demonstration of reading a single page.
That was pretty quick.
It's lightning fast. The processor on the iPhone is just great for this, and I think we'll only get better. And of course, we've optimized the reading speed. So as soon as we get text, the page doesn't have to be fully processed. So it's still doing some processing in the background. But as soon as we get text to speak, we start speaking it.
Oh, that's great. Now, can I also take this text and copy and paste it into other applications for editing?
You can. And eventually you're going to be able to edit right on the reader itself. But yes, you can. So this text that I've just captured, for example, I can save it as a document. I can name it whatever I want to, and it will save to a section of the app we call the File Explorer, and it's available there.
What can you do with the captured text from within the app?
I can do many things with it. I can export it to Dropbox or Google Drive. From there, I can email it. I can open it as a text file. I can send it to my computer and edit on it and things like that. Right now, you cannot edit within the reader, but that capability will come about.
What other features does it currently have that people are going to like?
I want to point out, too, we're good for not just reading single pages, but we can actually do a batch. So let's assume that what you've got here is an article of 20 or 30 pages. You can put this onto batch mode and capture image after image after image after image, and then they are all processed as one document. So you have a 20 or 30 page document. That's, of course, really cool because you don't have to read, you know, as you go.
Well, that sounds like a very handy feature. What other features might we enjoy?
Another option is importing, especially PDF files or other image files that have text in them. What I mean is, I think most of our listeners have had the experience of somebody sending them a PDF and you try to read it on your computer and it says, alert, empty document. Well, you know the document isn't empty. The problem is it's an image file and it hasn't been subjected to optical character recognition. So in the case of a PDF, let's say you have it in Dropbox, for example, and you can then choose to share that document from Dropbox and you choose open in, and KNFB Reader is one of the options, and boom, it as soon as you double tap the KNFB Reader option, it opens the reader, and that file, that PDF file, is now in your File Explorer in the KNFB Reader. You simply process that. You don't have to take a picture of anything. You just hit the process button, and it does the same thing to that file as it would do if you had taken the picture. And that can be a multi-page document.
Now for this week's final item, what's planned for additional features to come in future releases?
You talked a little bit about some of the capabilities that are in the app now, but you've also indicated that you have a whole roadmap for the future. Can you tell us more?
One of the early additions will be reading business cards and extracting the content of the business card to your phone contacts. We don't have that in our first release, but I think we will have sometime this fall.
Boy, that would be really handy.
It'd be really handy. Another development will be translation from one language to another. Now, as we speak, the reader will recognize and read in something like 11 or 12 different foreign languages, mostly European languages, but eventually Chinese, Japanese, and other languages as well, probably 30 to 50 different languages. But we will be able to translate from one language to another. So, for example, if you are taking the picture of a Spanish document and you want to read it in English because you don't speak Spanish, you'll be able to do that.
Neat. Well, that was really impressive. I must say, we've come a long way since that $30,000 machine sitting in my office and taking a minute or two to recognize a single page, maybe.
Yeah, you know, and it's a whole lot smaller. This one you can carry around in your pocket.
It's not quite as heavy.
That other one you needed a hand truck.
Yeah, you would. No, it's just great. And you can run this on a device that you're also going to be using for a lot of other things. So it makes it very convenient.
If people want to learn more about the KNFB reader, where would they go?
There are actually two places. One, I recommend they go first to the App Store for Apple on their device. And, you know, if they don't want to hit the buy button, they can at least get a good description right there. Put in KNFB, that's one word, followed by a new word, reader, and our app will appear. That's a good one. Our website is knfbreader.com. All one word, knfbreader.com, where you can see demonstrations and learn more and also look at the user documentation and so forth.
What would the contact information be for tech support or for a users forum?
The National Federation of the Blind maintains a reader users list. And all you have to do is just write to an email to the National Federation of the Blind, info@nfb.org, and you'll be directed to the reader users list. And that's an email list with people that are using the reader and can explain a lot of its capabilities. In addition to that, KNFB Company has a support email possibility, and that is support@knfbreader.com.
And to make things easy for our listeners, as usual, we'll have all that contact information and all the links you heard above, as well as a link to the app in the App Store and a link to Janet Ingber's book on more ways to use the iPhone camera in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1444. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Bill Kosiaba, a blind fitness instructor, massage therapist, and personal trainer who runs his own fitness studio, about how he does each of those. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboo.fm at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.